Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping families love their homes again. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, September 9th. I'm Abby Larico. People living in North St. Louis are urging city leaders to pick up the pace when it comes to disbursing money for repairing their homes.
It's a lot of people who heard as misplaced and homeless because of this. And we need to be working together and not trying to tear each other down.
St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports on the impact this could have on the whole region. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Republicans have advanced a congressional map that takes aim at Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. The Missouri House gave initial approval yesterday to a plan that would convert Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a Republican-leaning seat. It comes as President Donald Trump is pressuring GOP-led states like Missouri to redraw their congressional lines ahead of the 2026 elections. Democratic Representative Kem Smith of St. Louis County says Republicans are showcasing how easily they're willing to bend to Trump.
We're not serving Missouri. We're serving one man, and that is not a democracy. That's submission.
The House needs to vote one more time in order to send the new map to the Senate. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, redistricting opponents will have a short window to put the new map up for a statewide vote.
Republicans have more than enough votes to pass a bill transforming Cleaver's Kansas City-based district into a GOP-leaning seat. But the bill's sponsor, Representative Dirk Deaton of McDonald County, doesn't plan on including what's known as an emergency clause to make it go into effect upon Governor Mike Kehoe's signature.
We just don't believe that it's necessary at this point.
That means opponents of the mid-decade redistricting push will have 90 days after the special session ends to collect around 106,000 signatures to put the map up for a vote. If they get enough signatures, the redraw can't go into effect until after a successful statewide vote. The special session is slated to go until Friday. In Jefferson City, I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas says he may run for the U.S. House if that new congressional map splitting the Kansas City metro into three different districts is passed. Lucas says he may challenge Republican Mark Alford for his fourth district seat, which would include the western portion of Kansas City and many of its suburbs.
I will guarantee this today. We will have, if this map passes, within weeks, a strong name ID, strong candidate with a history of fundraising in this jurisdiction who will be known, who will challenge that fourth district seat. Whether that is me, whether we're able to recruit somebody else.
Kansas City's charter would allow Lucas to run for Congress while continuing to be mayor. He would only need to resign from office if he won the seat. Catherine Hanaway has been sworn in as Missouri's Attorney General. She replaces Andrew Bailey, who stepped down to become co-deputy director of the FBI. During his tenure, Bailey made headlines by taking action on national high-profile political issues. He sued companies for their diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and sued the Biden administration many times. When asked if she would follow in those footsteps, Hanaway supported her predecessor's actions.
I absolutely positively believe in and will defend the constitutional rights of Missourians, and that's what I really think that they did. And so I'm going to continue to pursue the defense of the Constitution.
Hanaway also says she supports Missouri Republicans' effort to gerrymander the state's congressional map. She anticipates having to defend the move in court and says she doesn't find it unconstitutional. U.S. Steel confirms it will quit processing steel at Granite City Works later this fall. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
The newly acquired U.S. Steel says it will instead move the processing responsibilities to bigger mills near Pittsburgh and Gary, Indiana. In the meantime, the roughly 900 remaining employees in Granite City will, quote, maintain the facility in case the situation changes and run ancillary facilities. The company also confirmed there will be no layoffs because of the decision. Under the acquisition contract, U.S. Steel cannot close, idle, or sell Granite City Works until after June 2027, without the Trump administration's approval. The decision allows U.S. Steel to, quote, maintain future flexibility while maximizing our domestic production footprint. The change will take place at the start of November. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
One of two winners of the second biggest jackpot in Powerball history bought the lucky ticket in North St. Louis County. It was purchased at a Quick Trip gas station on Lusher Road in Spanish Lake. The local winner will split a jackpot of nearly $1.8 billion with another winner who bought a ticket in Texas. It's the most money someone in Missouri has ever won from the lottery. The winner has until March 5th to claim their prize and can choose to remain anonymous. It's because of a 2021 state law that shields the identity of lottery winners. The Missouri History Museum will feel a bit smaller for a while in preparation for some new things to see. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports the gallery space on the History Museum's top floor will be closed for construction until spring of 2028.
Gallery STL will be the first new exhibit on the museum's second floor since the recently closed Seeking St. Louis opened in 2000. Sam Moore, Managing Director of Public History for the Missouri Historical Society, says the exhibit will showcase 23 decades of St. Louis history starting in the 1800s.
So in the 1860s, of course, we're going to talk about the Civil War. We're also going to talk about what it was like to go to the dentist in the 1860s, and it was not very fun.
Gallery STL will also include a future lab space that highlights the problems and opportunities St. Louis may have in the future. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Parts of the north side of St. Louis look like a wasteland following the May 16th tornado, and residents say they fear it will remain this way if the government doesn't provide the resources to rebuild. Some say the money they received from the Federal Emergency Management Agency was not enough. Others say they want the city to put its money where its mouth is. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports that while city leaders agree that things should be moving faster, they say they're doing the best they can to disperse limited resources.
In the Ville neighborhood, Cope Brilliant Avenue still looks the same as it did in late May. Some homes are nearly flattened by the tornado and others are barely standing. And one of these homes belonged to 70-year-old DeLois Holmes. She was one of the five people killed in the storm. Shantae Gibbs is one of her neighbors who tried to help save her. She owns a few properties on the street, but recently moved to the county as her house was severely damaged.
We are one of the thousands that didn't have insurance, don't have insurance. You know, so it's like, okay, what are we gonna do? Not to mention we own both properties.
Gibbs received $10,000 from the Federal Emergency Management Agency for roof repairs, but she says that barely covers the cost of window replacements.
If we homeowners, I guess you could try to hold us some type of accountability, like, okay, you should have had insurance. We can't afford that if eggs $10 a dozen. The pay is not going up. Like, it's like they want to keep their foot on our backs and then tell us to get up. How?
FEMA closed its application for relief aid on August 26th, but the city is encouraging residents to file late applications for the next 2 months. Like Gibbs, some residents say government funding can't come fast enough and that the city should do more to expedite funding for individual homes on the north side. They made their voices heard at a Northside Independent Neighborhood Association meeting in late August.
You know, I've been a business owner for the past 25 years. And I just really want to see what is the best way forward for the north side. How can we practically change our conditions that we face here on the north side?
That's Christopher Gladney, a resident in O'Fallon and president of the association. The city has hosted several town halls since the storm, but the group's secretary, Allison Haney, says leaders have failed to keep their promises.
The primary concern from the community continues to be where is the $30 million from the interest of the RAMS money.
City leaders say that of the $30 million in RAMS interest allocated for tornado relief, at least $12.2 million would go towards some sort of direct rental or housing assistance. City Board of Aldermen President Megan Green says in an effort to help the city disperse the funds faster, groups like United Way and Mission St. Louis have been assisting. Mission St. Louis runs the city's home repair program. But Green says not all contractors are trustworthy.
You know, unfortunately, some of these contractors we've seen that have taken money from folks and then never showed up to do the work. And so they've gone through a list and are in the process of standing up that pole repair program to be able to get dollars out to residents to repair them or to pay contractors.
Green noted that the storm amplified the historical disinvestment on the north side that predated the tornado.
If the north side falls, the entire city falls. And everybody needs to recognize that, that you can't have a 30-year city that is crumbling and people leaving and tax base dwindling and think that that is not going to affect the entire city.
For Gibbs, who has lived in the Ville since 2011, seeing her community void of people and full of debris is heartbreaking. She says to rebuild the north side, everyone must put their differences aside.
It's a lot of people who hurt as misplaced and homeless because of this. And we need to be working together and not trying to tear each other down. Like, that's ridiculous.
Looking around at these houses is just really, really crazy and really sad.
I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.